It's time to get Gruberized on the Steve Gruber Show.
All right, well, the federal budget coming down to the deadline again about whether or not we're going to shut down the government. This gets a little tedious, doesn't it? You'd think if we just get our act together, we wouldn't have to go through this every couple of weeks or couple of months or whatever it's turned out to be. Joining me now, Mark Goldwein of the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget. Mark, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Hey, glad to have you. So why is it that these people that we elect and send to Washington, as my mother would say, cannot get their act together? What the hell's wrong with them?
I don't know where to start. I think I might need a psychology degree to tell you that.
Possibly.
But look, all they've got to do is keep the lights on here. While ideally we would fund government through 12 appropriations bills that fully take care of our financing, the minimum we can do is something called a continuing resolution. All that does is say we're going to keep doing what we're doing and keep the lights on.
All right. So when we keep the lights on, that's what we do and everything it goes for. But I've also noticed during the last couple of government shutdowns where, you know, the news networks go bananas and pledge doom and gloom and it's all going to come to an end and some such rot, that I don't really notice that the government shut down because things like the military stay in place and critical things are still funded, right?
That's right. Well, not funded, but the rules that basically govern a shutdown say that essential employees and anything that's related to national security will continue to work even though they're not funded during a shutdown. And when it's for a few days or for a week or two, that's pretty sustainable. I mean, it does mean that backlogs increase. It does mean that you can't go to your Smithsonian museums or public parks, but it's not disaster. But a perpetual shutdown, ultimately, people wouldn't work if they're not getting paid.
Well, right. It just depends on how long it goes on. But for,
exactly.
for the average user of the government, though, I mean, the last time, as I recall, the national parks got shut down by Barack Obama as a way to try to blame the Republicans. But here's what I've noticed, Mark. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how this works. The Republicans get blamed for the shutdown of the government, no matter who's involved. And I'm not really interested in that. I don't care who's involved. Can we not move past this? Can we not get to a different place? Because it's a distracting conversation, and I get to watch talking heads and pundits blather on about meaningless nonsense and point fingers. And the vitriol is kind of stupid, and it just seems we can do better.
Look, it's a total distraction. I mean, we're headed toward $1 trillion deficit next year, maybe the year after that. We have entitlement programs that are in passports and Social Security and Medicare. And we're fighting over a small fraction of the government, and we're not even fighting over how much to fund it for. We're fighting over, as you say, kind of minutiae and nonsense.
It is minutiae and nonsense. All right, so here's my question. You are on the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget. How do we get to the point where we can reduce spending? I mean, every American's happy because they get to pay less taxes, and I understand that, and they should be happy. I'm pleased there's more money in my pocket. But, you know, you sit there and you look at all of the things that government spends money on, places that they do not belong, frankly. You know, bailing out companies, student loans, and I could go on about things that the government has no business being involved in, not constitutionally speaking, and yet here we are squandering money, and between George W. Bush and Barack Obama, they created more debt in a short period of time than all the rest of the presidents combined. How did we let that happen?
Well, what I'm actually worried about is this budget deal is going to make that problem worse. I mean, we're hearing that they're talking about $250 billion of base spending, plus disaster funds, plus everything else. All said and done, we might be talking about $200 billion per year, you know, an annualized $2 trillion over 10 years of additional spending. That's exactly backwards. What we need to do is control the growth of our defense and non-defense spending, cut wasteful spending in the areas you mentioned, but most importantly, the two largest programs are Social Security and Medicare, and they are growing unsustainably, and we need to bring their growth under control and finance their costs.
But everybody's too chicken to do anything about it. There are no leaders in Washington, Mark, that will do that, although what should happen, potentially, is you start to gradually increase the retirement age for Social Security when it was put in place. 65 years was the expected life expectancy in America. So when I was born, life expectancy in America was 69. Now it's 81 and 82, respectively, for men and women. Women might actually be higher. We need to get the Social Security number higher, the retirement age higher, which will cause people to kick and scream. But Social Security wasn't designed as a retirement plan. It was designed as some supplemental income to anything else you would have saved during your life. It wasn't there as a cushion for you to sleep on, correct?
That's right. And it was actually in case you reached retirement. It was insurance against the risk that you reached retirement. Now we're lucky enough that most of us do reach retirement, but we need a system that's funded appropriately. And I think that the higher retirement age can help us to get there. We're going to do more than just that, but that's a good idea to get us started.
Couldn't we phase that in? You know, add 2 months at a time to the retirement age beginning at some point? I mean, yeah, somebody's going to get pinched in the middle. Somebody's going to be unhappy. But if we don't, everybody's going to be unhappy because the whole thing's going to come tumbling down.
You know, when I worked in the Simpson-Bolt Commission, we recommended just indexing the retirement age to life expectancy. So it grew about 1 month every 2 years. So it basically means that it would go from 67 to 69 by 2075. I think 2075 gives people enough time to plan and adjust.
Except, and let me ask you this, and I agree with what the Bowles-Simpson, you know, did, but is that really helpful, going up that slowly over that long of a period of time?
Well, I'd be open to going faster, but I think that's helpful if you couple it with other policy changes, like adjusting the benefit formula, changing the way we calculate inflation.
And here's what will be said. Here's what will be said. Republicans hate old people. They're trying to kill them and starve them to death and so on and so forth. I can see the headlines now, and Nancy Pelosi and all the other idiots would be out there running around screaming death for senior citizens, and CNN and all the networks would parrot those very same comments and claims, which is why nothing ever happens. Somebody has to have some courage of leadership, do they not?
No question. I mean, you talked about chickens, but what we're missing is the fiscal hawk. Seems like it's an endangered species. You know, I mean, every member of the Republican caucus just voted to add significantly, almost every member, to the national debt for this tax cut. And now probably they're going to be joined with almost every member of the Democratic caucus to vote for huge spending increases. And yet no one is talking about the real drivers, the entitlement programs.
And at which, you know, and at some time, we saw just a little bit of a scare here in the last few days of the Chinese saying, we're not going to buy any more Treasury notes. If they don't buy Treasury notes from the United States, the whole party comes to an end, period.
Yeah, look, at some point, the markets are going to make this decision for us. My concern is that interest rates can move real quick, but debt moves really slow. In other words, once your debt is out of control, it's really hard to make the policy changes to reverse it quickly. And so that's why we can't really wait for the markets. We need to start now to make those thoughtful, gradual changes.
Are there any other ways you can see out of this? Because I believe that American energy can help us out of this crisis. Mark, I'll give you the last word.
Yeah, I mean, look, anything we can do to grow the economy better is great. But as I said before, Social Security and Medicare are our two largest and fastest growing programs. We don't control them. That's the ballgame.
All right. Mark Goldwein, thank you very much for joining us from the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, which seems like an oxymoron, but I greatly appreciate your time, Mark.
Thanks for having me.
All right, there you go. Responsible Federal Budget. Yeah, I'd like to see that, too. This hour of the program brought to you by DTE Energy, providing safe, reliable natural gas to customers across Michigan. DTE Energy. Know your own power.